This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another podcast. It's Monday, February 25th, 2019. And as we approach the spring, it's hard to believe we're cruising through and very soon going to be entering into the third month of this year and wrapping up the first quarter. And a lot of interesting stuff we're hearing across the industry. A lot of people struggling with earnings, continuing to do so. Of course, I mean, I don't know why it's like that. I've been at this for 45 years, and it's between somewhere around Thanksgiving it starts trailing off, and then between the first of the year and President's Day, it has always been down, all these years. So why is everyone wringing their hands and looking at why is things so bad? Well, they're not controlling their costs. But what is coming up out of this is we're seeing a number of new companies emerging. And we're going to have on the Hot Topics segment today, Stephen Shaysby, someone that Andy and I have worked with over the years, the Profit Doctor and I have worked with over the years, who is good on licensing and setting up a business. So with all of you that are considering opening up or that are in the process of starting a new mortgage company, whether it be a broker or a mortgage banker, we're going to have Stephen Shaysby on the line, a good friend with a lot of information. And, you know, even those of us who have been in the industry for a long time, it'll be very interesting, the information he has. It'll be good for you to stay up on licensing as well as just an update for those who are already in motion. But let's talk about some of the things that are going on in the industry. We're going to be talking about that a lot in the podcast. The number one thing that we're looking at right now is people are looking for leadership. We're finding that our podcast is getting listened to more and more because of the thought leadership. And we want to hear from you on things we can do to help you bring content that is meaningful and effective that meets your needs. So please, we'd love to hear from you. You can text me or send me a LinkedIn message. A LinkedIn, go David Lickin at LinkedIn, or you can send me a text message at 512-632-2900. We're thrilled to have you as our listeners. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We recently became a part of the Industry Syndicate. It's a new group of those of us, a number of new podcasts on the scene. I encourage you to check out the Industry Syndicate at industrysyndicate.com. It's a culmination or it's a syndication of a lot of us doing podcasts, and it's all kinds of topics, and I'm thrilled to be one of the early ones in on this, and I've known the founders, and I'm very thrilled to be here. I just want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as the Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. I was back listening to some of the podcasts we did with them in 2018. Very interesting and more relevant now as we get further into this year with technology being such a big focus. We also want to say a special thank you to Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans, as well as the home of some of the top LOs in the country. A new sponsor, well, it's actually an old sponsor that's back as a new sponsor. It's Finastra. We're so glad to have them back. We'll be talking more about some of the innovation that they're doing. Again, they combined with MySyst, that the two companies combined. They're now the third largest fintech company in the world, and there's a lot of things going on. Finastra has the Fusion Mortgage Bot solution that automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction, increased productivity, and greater market share. Also say a special thank you to Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, who both are mortgage co-ops, creating a great competitive advantage for lenders and vendors. Last week, we had the Mortgage Collaborative Conference here in Austin at the JW Marriott, and this coming week, we've got the Lenders One Winter Conference here in Austin. So Good time to be living in Austin, Texas. A lot of conferences are here. The Mortgage Collaborative one last week was really good. Jay Brinkman, a good friend of mine who is also serves on the Ainsworth Advisory Board with me. We have a group of people like Jay, Joe Murin, Gary Ort, David Kittle, a whole bunch of folks. Mark Helm, who's also on the board. We help provide advisory services to the industry. So a lot of us were there, and we listened to Jay speak. It was really good to hear him give an economic outlook of what's going on. By the way, it looks good. We've got some real interesting millennial information. We're going to have Jay on and talk about that. Anyway, Mortgage Collaborative will be coming up next week. If you're not signed up for the Collaborative Conference, the Winter Conference, be sure to check it out. Also, Velma, efficient mortgage marketing and email platform. Grateful to have their support. And the Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. And Vidyard is an easy online video platform for businesses, which allows you to increase leads, accelerate your pipeline, and delight customers. You can stay in touch with people so effectively. I was sending out videos to all my customers and all our clients, past and present, last week, and the feedback I get from that versus an email or a text is quite different. It's wonderful. Then finally, I want to say a special thank you to Andy, Alice, Alan, Joe for their contributions to the podcast. Let's take a brief moment, run over to Rob Van Raphorst and hear what he has for the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA released a white paper on the important role independent mortgage banks play in today's market. IMBs are now the primary source of single-family mortgage credit, and particularly so for low and moderate income families. The paper examines recent developments driving the growth of the IMB segment and the enhanced regulatory climate in which they operate. This week, the full Senate Banking Committee will vote on the nomination of Mark Calabria to be the next head of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. And finally, mortgage rates held steady on mixed economic news as core inflation remained firm, while retail sales in December were much weaker than expected. However, overall application activity picked up over last week. After four consecutive declining weeks, purchase applications increased almost 2% over the week and 2.5% compared to a year ago, showing some promise as we edge closer to the spring home buying season. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Good job, Rob. Going to be very interested in Mark Calabria and when he gets confirmed. I think that'll go through pretty easily, but that's going to bring some interesting changes to Fannie and Freddie. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's hear from Les Parker with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by LoanLogic Havana Oil Na Na. Half of this need comes from Caracas Oil Na Na. Oil took us back to lean Caracas, Rising oil prices threaten the Treasury bull's enthusiasm. Caracas, the capital of Venezuela, finally impacts the market. Havana imports half of its oil from Venezuela. Cuba resells a portion of its Venezuelan oil for income to Havana. Who wins from the socialist economic wreckage in Venezuela? Russia supports Havana and Caracas. It wants the spoils of revolution and collapse. If it cost $1 billion, I see. Russia getting mullah men, now I see. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah, check it out. Les, that's good music. I love that. You can subscribe to Les's newsletter. I'm getting a lot of feedback from those that do, and they go, as I read this thing, I'm actually figuring it out. Look, and he does help me understand the market, so it's free. Go check it out, tmspotlight.com. Joe Farr couldn't be here with us this week, but he did take time to record a update on the weekly market, what the markets have for us this week. And so let's hear what Joe has to say. Joe?
Hey, Dave. Looking at last week, Dave, mortgage rates improved a little last week, as did stocks. I thought it was interesting to see that stocks have improved now over each of the first 8 weeks of the year. That's the first time that's happened since going back to 1964. Most of the reason for the rally has been that there has been a movement in the Fed to have a little easier monetary policy and improvements in the trade talk. So it was nice to see, even though stocks rallied during the week, bond prices, mortgage rates were not hurt too badly. In fact, mortgage rates ended the week a little better. And so looking at rates, we're currently sitting at about at the lower end of a pretty tight range for 2019. So it's been a good year for both stocks and bonds so far. You know, I mentioned that the movement was caused by the Fed, a combination of Fed speakers this week, as well as the Fed's minutes from the July 30th meeting of the Fed, as well as the Fed's written monetary policy report to Congress, which was released on Friday. All of those showed a patient Fed, which they've been saying for weeks now, but continue to emphasize that point. And you know, investors continue to see the Fed keeping rates low longer than expected and stopping the balance sheet runoff sooner than expected. And, you know, both stocks and bonds like an easy Fed. And then looking at the trade aspects of things, on Friday, both President Trump and the Chinese vice premier announced on Friday that a trade deal is likely. Market like that. Investors now believe that the March 1st deadline, which is, you know, next Friday, will be extended and that higher level talks will occur later in the month. So good progress is perceived, at least on the trade talks with China. The economic data that was released last month had very little effect on things. What was released, it mostly came in below expectations, including existing home sales, durable orders, and the Philly Fed. It was nice to see the home builders did show that they feel a little more confident about things in the future, as was expected in their home builder survey. Now, looking at the week ahead, it is full of potential market moving news. Start with trade again, you know, with that deadline for next Friday. If it's not extended, that would be a big deal. It might be good for mortgage rates because it would likely be bad for stocks, but we'll see how that goes. And then just President Trump's meeting, going to Vietnam to meet with Kim Jong-un on Wednesday and Thursday. Not likely to be a big market mover, but of note. And then there's a vote in Great Britain, in the Parliament in Great Britain, on Wednesday. I don't know if it's a vote yet, but it's a debate regarding Brexit and how that debate goes and how they conclude that debate, whether or not they can get to a point where they feel like they have a deal that they can operate under, or if they realize that they're going to do a Brexit without a deal. Those are significant events in the global market, and we should pay attention to that. Next week, I mentioned the semiannual testimony to Congress, the monetary policy report that the Fed chairman is going to deliver to Congress on to the Senate on Tuesday and to the House on Wednesday. And since the Fed has been the focus of the market for weeks now, it's important to hear what he has to say. On Tuesday of next week, there's a vote in the House to block the use of national emergency as a way to generate funds to build the border wall. And so, you know, that political fight is going to create a lot of interest in, you know, politics and the market. And so seeing how that happens, of course, Trump has already said if that does pass, it's going to be vetoed. So, you know, maybe it's just politics, not anything more than that. There is important economic data that comes out after Monday, every day next week. On Tuesday, the housing starts and consumer confidence comes out. On Wednesday, factory orders and pending home sales come out. Thursday, we're going to get the first look at fourth quarter GDP. This is a delayed look because of the government shutdown, but it's the first look at fourth quarter GDP. It's going to be released at 8:30 Eastern time on Thursday. On Friday, the Fed's favorite measure of inflation, core PCE, for January is going to be released. It's expected to show 1.9% inflation over the last 12 months, which is the same as last month. And also on Friday, the ISM Manufacturing Index is going to be released, and it's an important measure of overall economic growth in the manufacturing sector. So lots of information to come out, lots of things that can move the market. Good time to pay attention. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you bringing us this great information each and every week. Hope you have a great week. Let's hear from Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage, who talks about the science of sales. Scott?
Stories help customers relax and listen. They're memorable. They establish trust. And most importantly, they speak to the part of the brain where decisions are made. We make subconscious, emotional, and sometimes irrational decisions with one part of our brain. Then we justify those decisions with another. Stories provide depth and context to facts, which leads people to making secure and informed decisions. One poll found 30% of strangers are trustworthy. But when you asked what percentage of people you know, the median answer jumped to 70%. Telling a story is the most effective way to make someone feel like they know you. Stories provide glimpses into your world and invite your customers to tell you their stories. This cements trust between the parties, and once you have a customer's trust, you've usually got their business. A 2013 study found that only 1 in 5 sales calls provides enough stories to satisfy the customer. So why tell a story? Because it works. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Love that. Love being with Scott. He's a bright guy, studies this stuff, and we're glad to have his segment with us. Check him out, openmortgage.com. Got great videos up there. See how they're using them. And also, if you're looking for a good home to work and make some great money, you can do so. Openmortgage.com. Get a hold of Scott Gordon and his team there. Great group of people. You'll be best of all, they got an awesome culture. Love culture. Culture trumps strategy every single time. That's so true. We're glad to have Alice Alvey on the podcast. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here, but she did send in her weekly legislative update. So Alice Alvey, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Here she is with our legislative update.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, everyone. Well, just a quick note about the legislative environment is that there is no change. So, of course, Congress, true to form, is still not doing anything to make anything different for mortgage lending. We have a few bills that I've talked about on previous shows that are still sitting just as introduced, and there's been no action. So the main thing I'd like to make sure that we get a chance to talk about today are a few agency updates. So as you all know, effective a week ago Friday, February 15th, all VA cash out refinances needed to meet a new set of rules and make sure that the borrower received a new disclosure within 3 days of application and then received the disclosure again at closing. So this is a net tangible benefit test that all VA cash out loans must now meet. What's different since the last time we talked is VA has issued their circular that describes all the details, and there are a few loose ends that don't match up, of course, with the final rule. So one of the things I want to make sure you're all digging into is the idea of how do I verify the 210 six-month seasoning requirement? Can I just go with what's on the credit report, or do I need to get a statement from the servicer if it's not my loan? And it's a little confusing in VA circular, so we're still trying to get to the bottom of that as an industry to confirm, can I just use the credit report? But based on the way the circular is worded, it looks like we may need to actually get a history statement from the current servicer to prove we've met that seasoning requirement. So stay tuned on that one. We're still trying to get to the bottom of that. So it's, all the industry is 100% clear and in agreement, by the way. Since we last spoke, also Freddie Mac has issued a new announcement, and they have changed their condo requirements. And this is all for the better. So sometimes you might miss a condo requirement the way that the condo project rules may have been set up at the time the loan was closed. Well, the Freddie has changed this, that they will now go with delivery date. So if you were missing one of the requirements as of the note date, just needed a little more seasoning to maybe get a few more units sold, and you could now meet their requirements after closing, those loans are now eligible for sale to Freddie. Assuming you are now meeting all of their requirements, even if that occurred after the delivery date. So I think that's a big win for some projects that might just need a little more seasoning. Last but not least, I want to just make sure everybody's starting to pay attention to the new tax forms. We're starting to see loans come in where borrowers are filing using the new 2018 tax return forms, and the agencies have now finally published some guidance on what to do. The biggest thing being, of course, we now do not have a Form 2106. No more itemized expenses on a Schedule A where you can deduct your business expenses. It will be interesting to see how many borrowers on commission now might move to filing a Schedule C. Make sure your staff knows just because it's a Schedule C does not mean they're self-employed for mortgage underwriting purposes. Now, some of you might think, well, what's the problem? If I said yes, they were self-employed because it's a Schedule C, doesn't that mean I'm being more conservative? Well, technically, from a risk analysis standpoint, the answer is yes, and you're correct. But from a documentation standpoint, you could have a big miss if you call a commission borrower who does not own 25% of the company self-employed. What will happen is somebody might not get that they need to verify year-to-date commission earnings. Because if I was self-employed and I had 2 years of tax returns, I don't need to get a year-to-date P&L in most cases. So heads up there, this is a big change. This is a repurchase waiting to happen because you are missing year-to-date verification of income on a commission borrower if you call them self-employed. I'm not sure, you know, what the CPAs of the world out there are going to advise borrowers, but please make sure, as we now know, commission borrowers, great. I no longer have to get tax returns. But keeping in mind, would somebody ever actually kind of change up the way they're classifying themselves? And actually, this can even happen today with today's current forms. Call themselves commission self-employed when really we shouldn't be calling them self-employed. We need to treat them as commission documentation. So heads up, there's a lot to learn for loan officers, you know, to get more comfortable with the way the new forms look. So hopefully all of you are out there providing training for folks on the new tax returns. That's my report for today, Dave. Back to you.
Appreciate you taking time from when you're out traveling to be here. Jan Wetzel, I talked to her yesterday. Alice and Jan used to be partners in Mortgage U, and we miss talking to them. So I picked up the phone. In fact, I think Alice and Jan are getting together today down in Florida. So I think she may be vacating out there, enjoying the Florida sun. If you live up in Ohio, where would you go? Yeah, I'd be going to Florida too. Anyway, thanks, Alice, for being here today. Alan Pollack, good to have you with us on the Tech Update, my friend. Always love hearing your report. Boy, there's a lot going on, and I find I'm calling you with a whole lot more frequency saying, Alan, have you ever heard of this? Have you ever heard of that? It's happening. It's really changing rapidly. Give us an update. What's happening in the tech world?
A couple different things going on, actually. This weekend, I was in Atlanta, and you know, just thinking about disruption, Lime scooters are making their way across the country. And they were all over Atlanta, and myself, as well as many others, you know, took them for a spin. And it's pretty cool. You download the app, you scan the barcode, you put your credit card in, it detects your driver's license by taking a picture, and then off you go. And I thought this was kind of interesting, right? It changes the way you think about transportation. Lime, so I did some quick research. Lime has raised at least $300 million from investors at a $2 billion valuation. And this is the word on the street. The valuation has doubled since June. There's a little bit of downturn in the valuation because the winter months are colder and not so many people want to use the scooter. And then, you know, you can use the Lime app. There's a Bird app, but you can go through Uber. And did you know Uber is building 1,000 bikes a day in China? Those are,
wow,
you know, electric moped bikes.
I heard
so
that.
So it really, yeah, it changes your thinking. And like you say, change your stinking thinking, right? It's
yeah.
It brings me to looking at behaviors. Let's become experts at the human behavior. Let's disrupt the people element. And that's sort of where I come to today. Quick disclaimer, I know last week I said we were going to talk about build versus buy this week, but due to so much more exciting content and this whole, you know, becoming an expert at customer behavior, I thought we'd go in a different direction. So a couple quick things in the news. Citigroup made a big announcement that they've invested in a digital mortgage company, Better Mortgage. Citi becomes the newest big name to fund that mortgage tech startup. It has not been disclosed how much they're funding. If you remember last month, American Express Ventures led its $70 million Series C funding round, as well as prior investments or involvement with Goldman Sachs. So now we can add Citi. And remember, 2 years ago, Citi got out of mortgage servicing. And I think a lot of people asked why. And I think, you know, I think they had to reshift, really, where is the market going and what is their strategy? So it looks like they've made some decisions. Better, by the way, last year, the company doubled its geographic footprint and originated $1.3 billion in mortgages. And it's about a 300% increase from the prior year. And if you go a couple podcasts back, we talked about that prior American Express Ventures Series C funding with Better. Also, a lot of us heard 7-minute approvals, right? That's right. You heard me. 7-minute approvals. So LoanDepot releases their tech-to-close mortgage. They're saying 8 days. They've invested $80 million in this new digital mortgage process. They said that they can identify significant time and cost savings in 7 minutes. So they also say that obviously it's powered by their digital mortgage platform, Mello Smart Loan. And what they're saying is it combines their proprietary origination technology with expanded intelligent data. So reading deeper into the article, what I found is they've listed the following items, which wouldn't be too surprising to many of us: income, asset, employment verification, credit checks, appraisal, title, and flood, and then closing. And they're also saying, so there's been a lot of conversation around all this different technology, and the problem is getting people to adopt it, right? So it's one thing to build it, so you build it, and will they come? Well, they predicted up to 55% of new applicants will be eligible to use their digital mortgage and could see a lot lower overhead costs. So more to come there. I think there'll be a lot of, whether it's opinion or facts that come out of the news as that gets turned on. But I am very interested to see what goes on there. And, the amount of money that they've spent investing, $80 million is a lot of money. And the next thing I thought was really interesting, if you think about where Citi's going, Bank of America adds pre-approval to their digital mortgage experience. So we've also talked in the past about Bank of America. They've got a chatbot called Erica. And David, you and I have been, talking a lot about chatbots. They've rolled out this new functionality, and really, what they're saying, which is not surprising, pre-approvals give a home buyer the buying power of cash when negotiating the purchase of a home. It also helps in budgeting for a new home. Well, ultimately, they're saying that April 2008, when they put out their digital mortgage experience, this is the next component of it. And they're saying they're providing their clients and non-clients on the bank option of completing their digital mortgage application and getting access to this pre-approval. And of course, where does this all get powered from? Well, using the data that they already know about their customers. And that's what's so important about this. And so then if you think about what just happened in the news with TIAA, right, they're exiting retail mortgage lending. Everybody heard that news, and they're selling it to U.S. Bank. Yep. They're saying they're going to keep a little bit of their retail operation, but a lot of it is going to be gone. And if you remember, just over 18 months ago, they were finalizing, of course, that $2.5 billion acquisition of EverBank. And where is it going? Well, it's going to digital mortgage as part of their online banking. And that's exactly what they're saying. They're saying that they're, just a few months later, they're moving to get out of retail mortgage lending and will shift their focus to digital mortgages, concentrating on originating home mortgage loans directly, particularly through the existing digital capabilities that provide exceptional client experience, as they said. And that brings me, David, to exactly what we talked about last week, which is the Fannie Mae survey that said, primary banks' online services are appreciated by consumers. And they're not saying that the big tech companies won't have disruption, but what they're saying is that 20% of consumers would trust their favorite tech firm with their financial activities. So your consumer, your customer is more likely to stay with their bank, not based on the best experience, but based on the trust and the security factor. And you want to check out that Fannie Mae article if you haven't had a chance. I think we posted the link. That will get you to a lot of great information. It's not all bad news for independent. It's great news, actually. It's showing a turn, but it is showing that sentiment. And then, David, that brings me over to AI. There's an awesome article at medium.com. It talks about financial institutions and how they've recently reinvented their approach to customer service. And it really talks about, chatbots. It talks about a couple quick points I'm going to mention.
Love this topic.
They talk about how chatbots, they're online, right? They communicate with the millennial customer through familiar medium of instant messaging, and they facilitate transactions ranging from bill payments to portfolio management. They optimize that customer experience, right? Disruption. They basically help banks minimize all those errors, and they help optimize that user experience. They're also saying that, financial services, the article is, are using them in websites all hours of the day, right? So it's 24/7. It can, transact and manage funds online. There's a lot of trust and credibility when it's your financial institution, and identifying and preventing fraudulent activity, which is such a big deal right now. So we can talk more about chatbots next week, as well as build versus buy, but great week ahead of us. Lots of good tech stuff happening.
Yeah, so what's really interesting is I actually ran across a client and a good friend who is using chatbot in the loan origination process, and it's coming. It's something that people need to wake up to, and they're there. And I did a bunch of research on it, and I called you. Fascinating. So does that mean that your loan originator is going to be automated out of the business? No. But what it does
definitely
mean
not.
Is they'll be able to hand the top of the sales funnel certainly can be accelerated. It's really fascinating,
David,
where this thing's going.
Yeah, just to steal a couple more seconds, I spoke with an originator who's using chatbots this weekend. He's using chatbots on filling the funnel, the top of the funnel, and he's got a couple different things in place. And he says it takes 18 touches right now through using different technology components, as well as actual phone calls and emails and different things, 18 touches to qualify and bring in a deal.
Wow.
So if you think about eliminating a lot of the cost and being able to, you know, have more accurate, faster 24/7 turn time with the right information and the right touch connecting you to that human. That's the right mixture. That's the right chemistry.
Pretty amazing stuff. That's going on. It's happening. It's rapidly happening.
Yeah.
If you're not listening to Alan and getting a hold of him and talking about some of the stuff, you're going to miss out on some of the stuff that's happening. For people that want to get a hold of you, Alan, best way is alan@tms-advisors.com. That'll work. Alan, thank you so much. I do need to follow up with you as soon as we get off the podcast here, because there is a bunch of stuff in this area that's happening. So sometime, it's not immediately, but sometime this week, I'd love to connect with you on it. And then we need to have you
Sounds good.
In the Hot Topic segment just to talk about this stuff, because it is significant and it is happening. So thanks for being here, friend. Really appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, run over to our friends at Knowledge Cube.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Cube. Have you ever considered the techniques of the greatest educators and storytellers in the world, like Shakespeare? Consider Romeo and Juliet, two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona where we lay our scene, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. In that first sentence, we know everything that's going to happen. The rest of the play is all filling in the blanks. How can you use these proven techniques to help educate your team? Don't leave your message hidden, but make it really clear from the very beginning. Check out Knowledge Cube for fun and easy training for mortgage professionals based all on fun video, easy to watch, and powered by a smart digital platform.
So good to have Knowledge Cube as a partner. Check them out, knowledgecube.com. Appreciate them and all of our sponsors. Andy Schell, good to have you here. You always bring a neat perspective. So I say something on here, and Andy and I are texting back and forth when one of the segments is going along here, and it's really fun. I mean, Andy, you do bring a lot of perspective in, and it's good to have you here with us, my friend. Prophet Doctor, what you got for us this week?
I have an advantage today that I normally don't have in our bantering, because you're physically impaled because you haven't eaten in 3 days, but so that affects your brain and your sleep. So I can take you on a intellectual debate today that I wouldn't normally be able to do.
Well, you take me on, and you do. I enjoy the bantering and the dialogue, and it's always stimulating. But yes, I am. This is day 3 of a 3-day water fast, and yes, I'm looking forward to dinner tonight. And it does leave your mind a bit muddled by this point. So, anyway,
couple of things. So, first off, the MBA accounting webinar starts in less than 4 weeks. We're starting the 5-series accounting session. Yeah, it runs every spring and fall. So March the 20th is the launch. So that's coming up soon. So that's exciting. Also, as that launch happens, we're going to be talking about a lot of really important topics. So not the least of which is understanding financial statements, understanding financial data, understanding hedging. So just making sure my mic is still live. Looks like it.
Yep, it is. Yes, yes. And you're so popular, you have your phone ringing off in the background. People are trying to get a hold of you even while we're talking. Imagine that.
Well, I apologize. I thought I normally mute the other lines, but I didn't. So,
that's right.
You know, thinking about, you know, Scott was talking about stories. But back when my kids were teenagers, you know, which is now like 12 years ago, 15 years ago, we used to go bowling, and so we would go bowling, and then they also had this special thing where it was bowling with black lights. So they would turn off all the lights, turn on the black lights, and there'd be like wild colors, and people would be bowling in black light. And at some point, as they're doing this transition, the bowling alley gets completely dark until the black lights get turned on. And that bowling in the dark sensation is a lot of what mortgage company presidents feel when they look at financial statements. Because they know there should be a sound, but they can't see the pin, so they don't know exactly where to aim. So I'm helping CEOs understand hedging and the P&L and the impact that accounting has on a mortgage company P&L. I'm also, the webinar I'm teaching is actually designed for CFOs and CPAs to understand the details about the numbers, but then also how to present the information in a way that the CEO understands. So there continues to be misunderstanding. There continues to be distortion around this topic. And it's really sad because it doesn't have to be as bad as it is. But honestly, it's getting worse because the CPA auditors are wildly inconsistent on how to report some of the mortgage lending activity as it impacts the profit for a mortgage company. So that's not good. So I'm helping CEOs convert information into English. And to make things worse, the hedging companies actually don't speak English. And so when the CEOs try to understand what the hedging company is saying about the implied volatility and the delta neutral position being adjusted, they don't understand what they just said. And so it's a real challenge. It's an ongoing challenge that I hope to build a bridge, build a gap of understanding between these issues that are super, super important so CEOs don't end up bowling in the dark. So the accounting webinar that's coming up is on the details of accounting that CFOs and CPAs need to know. I'm actually spooling up a different webinar that is designed for non-technical CEOs to be able to learn how to read the hedge report and be able to understand when the hedge report goes into the accounting numbers, what does it do? And also, even more importantly, what happens when the interest rate lock commitment is posted to the P&L? And even saying that the locked pipeline is posted to the profit and loss statement, saying that the locked pipeline affects profit, the CEO is going, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Those aren't loans. Those are applications in process. They're not loans. Why are we counting them as profit? Well, there's reasons why, but we do, and there's a way to make it so it's not such a dramatic impact that we have this distortion that mortgage company CEOs have to face. So we're going to be talking about how to make that better and how to impart this understanding for the bridge to understand financial statements. And as part of that, as I wrap up so we can push the button to listen to Stephen, mortgage companies need to really focus on what we do best. I know it's fun to listen to Alan with all of the new hot stuff coming around. We need to consider those things, but we also need to do what we do best. But to do what you do best means you need to know what it is that you do best. And in order to know what you do best, you need to monitor what you do. And as you monitor what you do, you can then measure what you do. So that means you need to get better every day at what you do and learn how to improve at every position. And while that sounds, well, yeah, of course, the trick is, how do you know? And the trick is, what next? And so part of this is simply from asking, or even the brown bag round table, or I used to use Star Trek, The Next Generation, Captain Picard segments to teach management. And so there's a way
interesting.
Turning information into action and turning action into benefit. But you have to have information. You have to know. So the processor probably knows how to make it better. And the underwriters probably know how to make it better. And everybody along the entire value chain knows ideas about better, faster, quicker. But they're busy, they're focused, and normally companies don't take the time to sit back and listen. You know, Angelo Mazzello a long time ago in Countrywide, who in his later years made some really bad decisions, but early on in his formation of Countrywide, he was actually revolutionary in a lot of things that he did. But one of the things that he is quoted as saying is, you're not doing something right unless it feels like the wheels are about to fall off. So there's an element of mortgage lending that is pace, 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 fast, quicker, faster, faster, quicker. But at the same time, embedded in that was do it right the first time, close on time, functioning perfectly. And so it's a real challenge to do both of those things, to go fast and make it better. In a time like this where we're facing a level of turmoil, we've got to pause just a bit, have the brown bag lunch, come into the conference room with different groups of people, watch a little bit of a fun episode of Star Trek, and talk about, so there, Captain Picard sent these people on the away team. Why did he pick them? How would you apply that to our business? How would you better support the operation? How would you better support origination? What can we do better to make the computer system do what we want it to do instead of the tail wagging the dog? Let's have the computers support our business rather than make us enter a bunch of extra data and a bunch of different screens where if we just had one screen, it would make it simple. So there you go. There's my soapbox for the day.
Good.
Dave, blah, blah, blah.
Good, 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 good. Blah, blah, blah. But it's good stuff. Yeah, it's good stuff. It always gives you something to think about. Appreciate it, Andy.
Hey,
appreciate you being here.
Ask.
Yeah,
ask
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And sign up for the webinar. It's coming up again. Starts, when did you say, next week?
No, 3 weeks. March the 20th.
Three weeks out.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Giving lots of lead time so people can start thinking about it.
Yeah, that's good. It's important. It's a great webinar. And it has been, you've done it numerous times for the MBA, and the MBA loves you doing it. So appreciate it, my friend. Appreciate you being here. And without further ado, let's get into the hot topic.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Stories help customers relax and listen. They're memorable, they establish trust, and most importantly, they speak to the part of the brain where decisions are made. We make subconscious, emotional, and sometimes irrational decisions with one part of our brain, then we justify those decisions with another. Stories provide depth and context to facts, which leads people to making secure and informed decisions. One poll found 30% of strangers are trustworthy. But when you asked what percentage of people you know, the median answer jumped to 70%. Telling a story is the most effective way to make someone feel like they know you. Stories provide glimpses into your world and invite your customers to tell you their stories. This cements trust between the parties, and once you have a customer's trust, you've usually got their business. A 2013 study found that only 1 in 5 sales calls provides enough stories to satisfy the customer. So why tell a story? Because it works. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
I love that segment. Good job. Always love hearing that. And by the way, Scott's going to be our guest on the Hot Topic segment on February 18th next week. Looking forward to having him on. He's talking about educational content and some things that they're doing over at Open Mortgage. Very exciting.